More important, though connected to all of this, Nicholas I's reign concluded with an absolute abysmal failure in the area that had always been central to the very justification of what the state was all about, a justification of the whole political style and culture and structure of autocracy, namely the military and war. And specifically, this was a failure in the Crimean War of 1854 to 1856. This was a war that was fought against Britain and France, which are important to recognize modern countries in the Russian eye. This became part of how they responded to this disaster in war. But these were also countries that were very nervous about Russia's growing influence in the Balkans. The battle was fought over, the war was fought over, who would in fact dominate the lands controlled by the declining Ottoman Empire, in particular, the Balkan lands. And it was fought on Russia's own territory, on the Crimean Peninsula, which was the headquarters of the Black Sea Fleet, seen as an important part of Russia's expanding influence in the area. And the war was a series of bloody defeats for the Russians. Though however bad it got, Nicholas I, so attached to his dignity as a great military leader, refused to concede defeat and then died. This failure in war was traumatic for Russian rulers and conservative elites. It made clear to everybody in Russia and in the West how backward Russia was compared to the Western European powers. Backward militarily, in its technology, in its level of economic development, in its administration. It became clear that something had happened since those glory days of the Napoleonic Wars when Russia marched across Europe. When Nicholas's son, Alexander II, inherited the throne, and with it this completely failing war, the first thing he did was to concede defeat, which was obvious to everybody in practice. The government just hadn't recognized it. And he signed the Treaty of Paris, which was an absolutely humiliating treaty for Russia. It deprived the Russian Empire of its special position, a growing position in recent years, self-chosen, as the protector of Orthodox Christians in the Ottoman Empire. It also took away certain lands they had occupied in recent years, and most troubling, especially given the heritage of Peter the Great, it forced them to dismantle their entire naval presence around the Black Sea. As a result, Russia was transformed, above all, in its own eyes, into a second-rate power. This was traumatic. And as a result of this disaster, even many conservatives began to accept the idea that really reforms to truly modernize the state were absolutely necessary. And Alexander II made it clear that he agreed, if only to prevent another humiliation, a military humiliation such as this one, but in a broader sense, to truly restore Russia's great power status in the world through modernization. The result was the most really impressive set of reforms seen in Russia since anything that happened since Peter the Great. First of all, in 1861, and all of these began to be announced fairly soon after 1855, but they took a while to be enacted in law. In 1861 came the most important of all of these great reforms, though it was announced a couple of years earlier. Namely, serfdom was to be abolished, though in fact, all of its details, even though it was enacted in 1861, talked about before, nothing was to take effect until 1863. This was such a radical transformation of everything that had existed in Russian society. This was really an amazing and, for many people, especially liberals, not to mention millions of serfs, this was a wonderful moment. Just a couple of illustrations coming from historical documents to suggest how ordinary nobles and peasants reacted to this news. A peace mediator, who was a local official in charge of implementing the reforms in those years between 61 and when they were really totally effective in 1863, a peace mediator recorded the following complaint by a noblewoman. And he said this was typical of a lot of the ordinary nobles, not the liberal-minded urban nobles that he met. She said, "Oh my lord, what is this? As it was, we received everything, everything, and all at once, there's nothing. What kind of freedom is that? Now we're forbidden to order our slaves about." She actually did use the word slaves. "You're making this up. I'm sure there's nothing like it in other provinces."